Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this week's program. We're talking about experiencing the voice of God, being able to navigate life successfully because you're connected with God, because He's leading you through every situation. You know something? God is smart enough to get you through every situation you're ever going to face. He knows what's going on with everybody else. He knows what's going on with you, and He understands what you need to do to have incredible success at every endeavor that you're involved in. You know, this week we're going to be talking about one of the most important aspects, I think, of connecting with God and getting to where you can experience God's voice. We're going to be talking about worship. In fact, we're going to be talking about the worshiper's heart, because God speaks to us, connects with us in our heart. And I tell you, whenever our heart is intermingled with His, wrapped around His, connected with His, we're going to intimately know and experience. You know, there's so much that we could talk about in this series that we just can't even go into. You know, we won't cover it all in the television broadcast. We won't even cover it all in the series that we got for you. But this 6-CD series is really going to help you get into a lot more detail than what we're covering here. But I want you to understand something. God is, He is full of wisdom. God is all-knowing. He is all-seeing. God knows every situation that's going on. He knows the thoughts and the intents of everybody involved in your life, and He knows your strengths, He knows your weaknesses, and He knows your deepest desires. He knows what you need, and I'm telling you, He can guide you through every situation in life so that it works out perfectly and so that it always works out to your good. You know, we've got this idea, though, that we've just got to get God to tell us stuff. We've got to press God. And I don't know, somehow we got to make God speak to us. Listen, God loves you. He wants you to have the very best. You know, we discover that with God, it's just like it is in any other loving relationship. If you take care of the relationship, all of these other factors really kind of take care of themselves. You don't have to try to make God speak to you. You don't have to convince God that He needs to tell you which way to go. Trust me, God is always trying to lead you. He's always trying to speak to you. But what we really need to do is we need to get our lives wrapped around God. I love what the prophet Isaiah said. He says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And that word wait means to wrap yourself around or to entwine yourself. You know, we talk a lot about meditation, biblical meditation, because in truth, all of the prophets in the Old Testament, they meditated. They spent time alone in isolation, both internal isolation and external isolation. In other words, they got away from people, but also they focused their attention on some aspect of getting a prayer answered and coming to understand something or being able to hear from God. And, you know, they set themselves apart. They were fully dedicated. They wrapped themselves around God because they knew that God was their hope. God was their solution. And really, we want to wrap our lives around Him. We want to connect with Him. And there's probably not many places that we're going to connect with Him more than in worship, if you want to know the truth. Because worship is a form of biblical meditation. You know what's interesting? The Hebrew words that you see when you see the word meditate, you see these words used in connection to people prophesying. You see them used in connection to people having visions. You see them in connection to people worshiping. And you start realizing that all prayer, all worship, all of this is actually a meditative, contemplative experience where you're just trying to wrap yourself around God because you want to see and experience God in every way that you have the capacity to. And we talked about the concept of knowing God and how that word know is not talking about intellectual knowledge. It's talking about experiencing with all of your sense organs. Well, I want to tell you something. Worship is a place, a very unique place where we have the opportunity to connect with God in a phenomenal way. You know, one of the most unique worshipers in the entire Bible, of course, was King David. You know, David, he was a shepherd boy. And what's interesting about this is by the nature of his work, he spent a lot of time in isolation because he's out taking care of the sheep. There's nobody around. There's nobody to talk to. And in this time in isolation, I would imagine that this was where he really developed his ability to connect with God as a worshiper. And another interesting thing we know about David, he was a musician. And you may not be a musician, and I don't mean to sound in any way discouraging to you, but I'll tell you what, I am so thankful for my musical roots because, man, when I can sit down with my guitar and begin to just play and sing to God and, you know, just sing right out of my heart to God and worship and connect with God, I'm telling you, I experienced something very, very intimate and very, very deep and very, very moving. You know, it says in Acts 13, in reference to David, it tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. And that David was a man who would do, God said, he would do all of my will. You know something? When your heart's connected with God, then surrendering your will to his will is pretty easy. You know, David made some incredible mistakes. God didn't say that David was a perfect man. God did not say that David was a flawless man, but he did say that David would do all of his will once he understood it. And you know something? I believe there's a lot of believers that if they connected with God and knew and understood how God was trying to lead them, I believe there's a lot more people that would do all of God's will in their life if they just settled down and learned how to connect with God. Now, let me just say this, and so much of what I'm going to talk about today is some of it's going to be review, some of the things we've talked about. I'm going to rush over a lot of things because there's so much here that I can't go into that I want to, but I want to cover as much as I can. You know, the word worship and the word praise, as used in the Hebrew and in the Greek many times, is a compound word, and at the root of the compound word is a word that means to say back or to acknowledge back. You see, in praise and worship, we are acknowledging back to God what he has said to us. This is one of the things I really loved about the early Jesus movement. We sang Bible choruses. We took scriptures right out of the Bible, put them to music, and sang them back to God. Now, what's so interesting about this is in this type of worship, it wasn't real wordy. You know, I don't mean to sound critical, but today's praise and worship is so wordy that you have to keep your eyes on the screen. It's just like back in the old denominational days where you had to have a hymn book and you had to keep your eyes on this hymn book because you couldn't keep up with the words and you couldn't keep up with the melody line unless you were looking at this hymn book because they were so wordy. And that's what's happened to praise and worship today. It is so wordy that you have to keep your intellectual mind engaged. Well, I'll tell you, back in the early days of the Jesus movement, even the early charismatic movement, singing these simple choruses that weren't very long, we were singing back to God what he said about us in his word. And the thing is, it was so simple, it was so repetitive, that we did not have to engage our intellectual mind to keep up with the words. And you could just close your eyes and you could enter into this place of peace and relaxation. And in this place of saying back to God and acknowledging God to God what he said to you and getting out of your intellectual mindset, you would find yourself having experiences with God that you don't really see very much in church services anymore. You know, those of us that come from those early days, you know, we knew what it was like to go to church and to worship really for quite lengthy periods of time. But in those periods of time, we would walk away having heard from God. We'd walk away seeing phenomenal things happen, seeing healings and miracles happen. And you know, getting personal words for ourselves, not necessarily for each other. But it was because we were wrapping ourselves around God and our praise and our worship. You know, interesting thing, 1 Chronicles 25:3 talks about this praise ministry that was set up in the tabernacle. And what's interesting is it talks about one group of people, and it says they prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. You know, that's really interesting that they played a harp, and on this harp they would literally prophesy to God. Listen, when I think about praise and worship, I think about coming before God. I think about having music that soothes my soul. And that's one of the things that the Bible said, that when David would play his harp, that this evil spirit would leave Saul because of the effect that the music would have on his soul. Man, I'm telling you something. A type of meditation, a type of communion with God happens sometimes when we put on music that we enjoy. We isolate ourselves both externally and internally. We put our focus on God. And we enter into knowing God, much like a husband and wife know each other, where there's absolute openness, where there's absolute intimacy. You know, yesterday morning, I think it was, I was praying, and God began to speak to me about walking in the light and how that God is a God of light. In other words, He's a God of complete, absolute openness and revelation. He has nothing hid. He has no secret agendas. But see, God tells us to walk in the light where we have no secret agendas, where we're not up to something, where we're not just trying to manipulate God into doing something that we want Him to do. So I'm just kind of going to go through some things here that I think would be important. If you're going to get alone with God and you're going to be a worshiper and you're going to get intimate with God, or you're going to meditate, or you're going to pray, whatever you're going to do to discover and understand and experience God's voice and God's direction for your life, I just want to run over some things that I think would greatly enhance that and make it a very genuine experience. First of all, surrender all of your agendas. You don't want to go before God with any agenda. Yes, there may be things you need to know. There may be things you need to, that you're seeking God about. But at the end of the day, you still want to go with no agendas. I have this need. I present this need to you. But Father, more than anything else, I just need you. You know, and this means that you've got to empty yourself of all selfish ambition. You know, James 3:16 says, where you have envy and selfish ambition, you have confusion and every evil practice. Now that's a pretty phenomenal thing, to think that you got confusion and every evil practice just because you have selfish ambition. Well, see, selfish ambition is where there's something some way you want it, some way it has to be done to suit you. Come before God with absolutely no selfish ambition. It's like, God, I just want to connect with you. Yes, I have needs in my life. Yes, I hope those needs are going to be met, but more than anything else, my greatest need is you. Now, I'll tell you something really interesting. And coming before God free of selfish ambition, you've also got to come before God willing to hear anything that God would say to you. I'll tell you, there's been times I've been seeking the will of God in my life, and I would understand that there were things that I was clinging to that I was afraid that if I surrendered to Him, I might have to give those things up. Well, let me tell you something. You can't hear what you're not willing to hear. And you won't hear, you won't let yourself hear anything that challenges you in an area of your life that you don't want to be challenged in. So you have to make up your mind. I belong to God. He's a good God. I can trust Him no matter what God says to me. If He were to lead me to let go of something, to give up something, to make some changes, I'm going to trust Him and go with it. You know, I remember after I got saved, I had the first really stable job I'd had in years. And, before that, I'd been a musician and did construction work here and there. And, man, I had insurance. I had all the things that you want, vacation and I'll never forget seeking God one day, and He said, okay, it's time for you to go out, start fulfilling your call. You need to turn in your notice. Oh, man alive. You're talking about a challenge, because, I was eating regularly. I was paying my bills. I had vacation coming. I had insurance. I could get my teeth fixed. I could do these things I needed done. But something, none of those things were as valuable to me as staying in the center of God's will. Giving up that job, giving up my ego even. Some of the most phenomenal things that God's ever led me to do were things that challenged my ego in ways that you can't imagine. I've been riding down the road and passed by a church I'd never seen before and have God speak to me and say, go in this church, you got the word for them tonight. Man alive, I cannot tell you how much of a struggle that was and how my ego would get in the way. And it's like I don't want to look foolish, but you know something? You give up all of your agendas. You give up all of your selfish ambitions. Like, if I think God's leading me, I'm just going to follow. Well, you know, the end result of that was, you know, was not only speaking to churches all across America, just walking in the door and having something phenomenal happen where I would end up in the pulpit. I would end up sharing and ministering in churches that I'd never been in before. But you know what? That happened to me one time in one of the largest churches in the world. I was in a church of 25,000 members. And God spoke to me and said, "You got the word for this church tonight. Go there." And I went there, and sure enough, the pastor stopped the service and invited me up. We'd never met before, but he knew in advance somebody was coming into that service that had the word. He knew he didn't have it. And when I walked in, he said, "You're the guy." And he called me to the front, ministered in that church, and it had influence on an entire nation. Listen, you can't hear what you're not willing to hear. And if your pride or if your ego or something you're trying to hold on to is between you and God, you'll never experience what he's trying to say to you. You'll never hear it. It'll look like it's going to be some kind of a big sacrifice, and it's not. You know, Jesus said that people weren't willing to hear what he had to say because they were afraid they would have to change. He said, you know, people close their eyes, they close their ears. Why? Because they might hear and understand, and they might have to change. We've just got to make up our minds that we trust God, and that no matter what he calls on us to do, no matter what he calls us to give up, we're going to do it, because we always know it's going to benefit us, it's going to benefit the kingdom of God, and at the end of the day, it's going to benefit a lot of other people. You know, another thing that we've talked about the carnal mind. You know, the carnal mind usually has some way that we think that God is going to work, and we think that God is going to do things the way that makes sense to us. We think, you know, most of the time we're just going to pray, and we're going to just say, "God, you bless this, because this is what I want to do for you." Let me tell you something. We just need to give up the idea that we can lead God and just ask him to bless it, and realize that he is going to lead us down paths of righteousness, and it's always, always, always going to come out good. It's always, always, always going to come out the way, you know, that it needs to come out. And you know, I can't always figure out what God's going to do next. There's so many times that I think I understand what's coming next, and I don't have a clue. It'll surprise me. It'll be something that I absolutely never expected. But the incredible thing is, it always takes me to the place that God promises me in his word. It always takes me to the place that God has spoken to me, you know, in my heart about going. You know, and I've said this already several times in this series, but as much as anything, I've just got to recognize that God is my source. He is what I need in life. You know, there's nothing else I need if I don't have him. And there's nothing else that'll benefit me if I don't have what this relationship with him has for me, that's trying to bring to me. So you know something? There just got to be this place where God becomes my source. God becomes my everything. And I begin to enter into this intimate relationship with him, and through praise and worship, you know, having given up all of my agendas, having given up all of these things through praise and worship, I take these promises of God, and I begin to acknowledge them back to God in a meditative, contemplative way. I begin to say to God, you know, what he said to me. I begin to acknowledge to God that I accept this, that this is true. And it's mine. It's mine because I'm in Jesus. And I enter in this place of intimacy. And in this place of intimacy, where nothing is being held back, nothing about my life is being held back, no possession that I have is being held on to. I tell you, enter in this intimacy, where your heart becomes like a clean slate that God can write on. And understanding what he's saying to you becomes so incredibly simple because there are absolutely no agendas. You know, it's interesting that when Jesus was raised from the dead, He met with the disciples, and the one thing he challenged them with was unbelief and hardness of heart. And, you know, hardness of heart is a heart that has closed God out, has become insensitive to God in some area of life. It's a place inside you that you really don't want God touching, or you don't want the Holy Spirit shining any light in there because of what he might see, or what you might even see about yourself. Well, you know something? I don't want to be hardened in my heart. I don't want to be insensitive to God. And I've discovered that no matter what I see about myself, even if I see something that I don't like, I don't want, I'm ashamed of, I still have the experience of God loving me even when that's there. And recognizing and experiencing his love even when these things are there makes it easy for me to let go of them and forgive myself and accept the forgiveness that God's already freely given me in Jesus. You know, when you enter into your heart, it's like entering into the Holy of Holies. And the great thing about the Holy of Holies is God doesn't sit on a judgment seat in the Holy of Holies. He sits on a mercy seat. And I'll tell you, when you get in your heart and you're really connecting with God, you're not connecting with religion, you're not connecting with anything anybody else has said about God, you're connecting with God in your heart. The one thing that you're going to realize is that you will always experience mercy. You'll always experience peace. You'll always experience love and acceptance. Listen, God is calling you into this deep, loving, intimate relationship where literally it's like making love to your wife or to your husband, that nothing is held back, nothing is hidden, all things are laid bare, and you're there with no agendas, no secret motives, no manipulation, no game playing. You're there for the pure expression of love. And I'm going to tell you something. When that's what's happening between you and God, sensing and knowing his will for your life just becomes the easiest thing you could ever imagine. And you walk away from those times with inspiration, with encouragement, with strength, with grace, with vision, with hope, and with purpose that's beyond any explanations, beyond words. It's just an intimate experience with God that cannot be duplicated. It can't be copied. It can't be taught. It can only be experienced. You know, I hope this inspires you. Spend time with God. Get alone with God. Have a relationship with God that is free from secret agendas, free from game playing, just filled with love. Listen, come back with me in just a moment. I'm going to share with you a mentoring. You know, you're going to have to find a way to experience intimacy with God. I don't know how you're going to do it, but it usually starts with having a place that you know you're not going to be disturbed, and ideally a place where you know other people can't hear you, because you want this to be as private and as uninhibited as possible. In this place, you want it to be comfortable. You want to be free from distractions. You know, you don't take your cell phone. You don't have your email turned on. You don't have anything at all that could distract you. And in this place, maybe you get you some good worshipful music, something that's very soothing, something that's very, very uplifting. And then you decide how you're going to start. This may just be where you start by even talking to God about your fears, or even talking to God about your struggles with this kind of intimacy. But primarily, at some point, you begin to acknowledge to him who he is, and pick promises from his word that particularly you want to experience in your life. You know, the psalmist said in one place that as he acknowledged God's name, he experienced God's presence. And I think that when we acknowledge God's name as our healer, and we take all these scriptures related to healing and acknowledge Jehovah, the Lord God that heals me, I believe that we begin to experience the presence of the Lord God who heals. So maybe if you're wanting to experience God in that way, or you're wanting to experience God's peace, but pick scriptures that are promises from God that are important to you and begin to say them back to God and engage every part of your being of acknowledging, God, whether I'm experiencing this in my life or not, this is the truth. This is the only truth. And let yourself wrap around that. Raise your hands, blow kisses, bow down, lay on your face, stand up. However you feel like expressing yourself, you express yourself to God without reservation. And make this a way of life. And I'm telling you, in this kind of intimacy, you're going to experience God ultimately in ways that you never thought possible.